Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 222. Three twos. Hello to all you people joining us on Mixlr. I haven't looked over there yet. I'll be over to the chat in a second. But yeah, it's episode 222. And joining me this week, as he always does, it's John.
Yo, 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 yo. What is up?
Also joining us, he's in the home stretch in the university game. It's Glycinator.
Hello, I'm here.
Crossing the final furlong. I didn't realize how many cheesy things you could come up with for like senior year. That almost feels like an endurance athletic contest sometimes. That might not hit you till about November. What, yes. you're graduating in December?
In December, yeah. But yeah. It should be an easy semester. I'm taking classes that I want to take, and they're all pretty not strenuous.
Did you save all your easy ones for your senior year?
Sort of. I had tested out a lot of stuff freshman year, and so there was a lot of carryover in terms of unnecessary stuff that I need to take, but I could hold off on. So
I saved all but one. Well, my discipline, business management, was pretty much you took steps, you know, and so you really didn't have a hell of a lot of choice in your fourth year. But I snuck in as many easy classes as I could, and then I took chemistry, which I think I've talked about several times on the show, that is not my favorite subject, so I left it till last. That's where the Japanese multicultural lit class was. I took that my senior year. To avoid religious studies, because nobody on that campus wanted me in a religious studies class.
I'm taking an oracles and prophets class this semester.
Yeah, but that covers more than just your basic...
Oh, no, yeah. It's already been quite interesting, so...
Shouldn't Nostradamus be involved in that?
Yeah, he mentioned, but we talked about that.
Is he going to do modern ones, like that idiot that kept calling for the end of the earth and then finally had the good decency to croak?
No, we're stopping at Revelation. So, but he did bring that up though the other day.
The more quote unquote modern ones.
Yeah, whatever that guy's name is.
Well, I think he's dead now, isn't he? He was the one that said the Mayan apocalypse. Oh no, he did the world was going to end twice, and then the Mayan ones. You could cover the Mayan apocalypse prophecies, supposed prophecies.
We're starting with Greece, so I don't think we're going to go that far back. But that would be cool though.
Well, I mean, a lot of that's fascinating because I just watched a documentary before we got on to do the show on the Vinland map and the controversy surrounding it. Now, John, do you know what the Vinland map is?
Sounds like something I should know about.
not necessarily.
And it does ring some bells in the back of my brain, but I don't quite remember the details.
Not necessarily. The part of Canada comes into play because of the Viking settlements found.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, right. The Vinland map was a map found in the 50s that some people say is fake, some people say is real. The debate goes back and forth. It's actually one of the few documentaries where, and it was done by the Smithsonian. They basically did both sides reasonably well, and it was tough for me to call at the end of it whether that map's fake or real. You know, usually when paper or something carbon dates to the 14th century, it's pretty difficult to call it a forgery. But either way, we know the Vikings beat Columbus's brains in getting here.
Yeah, up on the northern tip of Newfoundland is the Viking. They found the archaeological site up there at Lansa Meadows, is called. And,
yes, that's what they talked about. Yeah, it's now a reason for me to come to your fine island, because I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah, I haven't been, but which is probably why it didn't ring a bell right away. But that's here.
Yeah, but anyway, so in prophets and history and what's real and what's, you know, maybe got a little too much hype over time. It's a, but it's hard to find documentaries that treat the subject fairly on both sides. I was started to watch one the other night about Leonardo da Vinci, and basically in the first 15 minutes, I said da Vinci did never did shit and was a dumbass. And it's like, well, guess I know which way you're skewing in this documentary, and I stopped watching it. But that's not Vigima Games, which this Glacinator was right pre-show. This is probably not the greatest week to talk about Vigima Games, considering how stupid Vigima people are being. But let's kick it off with what we've been playing. Glace, let's start with you. What have you been playing this week?
Well, I assume we'll get into the Left 4 Dead stuff together.
Yeah, we could do that as a group kind of endeavor at the tail end of us all.
Okay, well, I haven't played it yet, but I did download the final episode of Season 2 of The Walking Dead game. So I'll probably get around to that either maybe after the show tonight or tomorrow sometime during the day. But I'm really looking forward to that a lot. And also, the new update for Awesomenauts came out today, actually at noon. And it changed pretty much basically how the game is played. So instead of buying all of your items for your characters before the match and having to choose specifically, now you can buy them at any time during the game. Like, your item shop is in-game rather than before the game, which is really nice, except it's really crazy now because everyone is building really crazy things, so I don't know how to counter anyone. And there's all this other new stuff. There's a new map. There's new bots. So now is if you haven't played it before, now is a good time to get into it because everyone is rejoining it. All the lobbies are full all the time, so it's an awesome, not so renaissance. So, besides Left 4 Dead, that's what I've been playing.
So, has there been any backlash to
most of the people that I've seen or heard want this or have been wanting this. Because a lot of people that are really, really into the game, being forced to buy your stuff before the match sort of ruins it because you're not prepared to build against someone that may counter you. And so for having this shop, people can now accurately build, you know, like during the match.
Yeah, I mean, I see no issue with it. I just know how people... How people can be about it.
You'd be surprised. I really have not heard anything bad.
That's good. I mean, that's a good thing. I'm not sitting here looking for some drama to create or some fucking angle. That's good. That this is a change the community wanted, and they're getting. You know.
Everyone's very happy. It's interesting. Everyone online on Match is like, oh, this is so fun. I'm having a good time. Everyone's like kumbayaing together.
And then kicking each other's ass.
Yeah. Inevitably.
Yeah, the build style, you know, you take some other kind of traditional MOBA games, you know, like League of Legends or Smite or something like that. You got to kind of have a wide variety of builds to counter other people's builds. And you have to pick that before the match. You know, to the best of my knowledge, I don't play these games. And it can lead to some real squash matches. I haven't played Awesomenauts enough against other humanity to know how bad a squash match it could have been under the old system. But I think this system is a much, much better method. And funnily enough, I saw the update and I'm like, well, Glacinator should have something to say about that. I can learn what the update is. I won't click on it. Well, because usually when I get one of my games updates on Steam, because I play so many early access games, I want to see what they're adding to the games. You know, is it time to take another turn in such and such game? Awesomenauts, I don't have to worry about it. You usually got me covered, and I don't have to think about it. Okay, John, so now that you've fixed your rec room, see that double joke there? What have you been playing this week?
Been playing, other than Left 4 Dead, which we'll get to, I guess, I've been playing a couple of my old Nintendo favorites. First being Spirit Tracks, playing it on my 3DS, which looks, my 3DS XL, which actually looks really good on the big screen. There was a couple months ago, I think, when I first got my 3DS XL, I tried out Phantom Hourglass, and it looked kind of like diarrhea dog shit. But for whatever up-res or improvement to the graphics that they did for Spirit Tracks, which didn't really seem all that much more detailed or more clear on the small original DS, looks great. Now that being said, I remember hearing something about Nintendo kind of quietly improving the DS emulation on 3DS. So that, like, the perspective on the top screen is no longer forcing it to wide, and it now does the nice, I guess it's 4x3 or just perfectly square, whatever it is, and it looks great, sounds great. I mean, the music, the XL has nice speakers. I mean, it's not like perfect, stereo surround or anything, but it's louder and more clear than my original DS. So I'm pretty pleased with how it performs. I'm playing that for a bit. I've gotten as far as the snowy, wintry section. So like basically the second area of the main map there. So I've got a long way to go. I'm only playing it, here and there. Not really playing really long sessions at all, but we're getting through, and Peter's watching me play. But otherwise, I took the new BMW for a spin in Mario Kart 8. That DLC dropped yesterday, so there's been a bit of a renewed interest in Mario Kart, especially since they announced that new double DLC packs that just came, that with Link and geez, the one the
Animal
characters.
Crossing.
Animal Crossing characters, there's new races, like new cups, there's new cars. If you pre-order both packs, they give you 8 different colors of Yoshi and Shy Guy colors, I think. I'm not sure, but it's quite the DLC pack. Two of them together is like $13, and then separately they're like $8 each. So, there's some incentive to double up. One doesn't. That being said, they've announced them and you can pre-order them. But the first one doesn't drop until November, and then the second one is May next year, which is more than a little bit ridiculous. But these DLC packs seem to be pretty substantial. I hope that they're not already on the disc kind of DLC packs, and these are just unlock codes. But we'll see. I'm definitely going to get them. There's some pretty cool stuff now. Another sneaky thing they've done is that they've updated all the menus in Mario Kart 8 now to constantly show you these available tracks and cars and racers and stuff, because as soon as you load it up, there's now a little shop icon at the bottom. When you go into to play Grand Prix, for example, rather than just the 8 cups, you see the other 4 that are going to be available with like little gift wrap around them, and you can click on it and go right to the shop to buy them. Or when you're picking your characters, there's a set of 4 down at the bottom of the screen, and the cars are the same way. So it's constantly reminding you of the DLC. So that's a little elusive, but I mean, I'm going to get them anyway, I guess. So I'm already one of the people that they're appealing to. But Mario Kart 8. What more can I say about it? It still looks gorgeous. I managed to get 3 gold stars. I'm a bit behind on my skill, on my elite skill level on it. I'm still playing 100cc, which is pretty lame, I know. But I got 3 gold stars on the last cup of the retro levels, which was eluding me. So I got that last night while I was playing. Yeah, not BMW, they're Mercedes, aren't they? They're Mercedes cars. And so they, there's 3 that are available for free, 3 different models. And I used the first one and kind of dominated. So it was pretty good. Though amazingly, I played the entire cup without any blue shells, ruining my chances. So yeah. That's always an advantage when you're playing Mario Kart. My game time has been pretty limited this week between work and, well, of course we did play Left 4 Dead 2, but work and Juan and I have started watching that show Psych, where the guy has these keen observational skills taught to him by his detective cop dad when he was a kid, but he's he's helping the police by pretending he's psychic. It's a, it's funny, I guess. You know, there's some pretty funny situations and dialogue. I'm sure it gets better after season one. You know, there's times when it's a bit campy and over the top, but it's all right. And that's what we've been doing a lot this week. And we watched some Parks and Rec last night too. So, but otherwise, you know, that's all I've been playing.
Why do you guys always end when I've got my head turned and I'm typing on my laptop over in the group chat or over in the live chat? It's working out well. Yeah, we're going to get to a new thing we're trying to do here with the WonderPod crew in a second. But two games I've been playing this week. More Saints, not two things, three things. More Saints Row 4, still awesome. There is it was DLC, but I got it with my pack, a mission called The Saints Save Christmas. Awesome and hilarious. And so I'm kind of mixing it up. I'll do some of the overworld map stuff where you do little missions and quick races and things of that nature for various reasons. And then I will do some of the side quests and then occasionally do one of the main missions. I mean, you could drag this game out, especially if you bought the Game of the Year edition, for a long time if you wanted to. I'm catching myself playing it in in sets rather than wearing myself out on it. I noticed in Saints Row 3 I played it so much that I have yet to touch the game again, even though I didn't trade in my copy for 360 because I just wore myself out on that particular set of Saints Row. The other thing I've been playing, because it had a pretty big update, was 7 Days to Die, the survival game. They added randomly generated worlds. Now, I might have said last week on the show that it was a randomly generated world over and over again. And to a point, it can be if you're not careful. I don't know, Glacinator, if you ever ran into the issue in Minecraft where if you kept renaming single-player maps the same thing, and you could do it to yourself in multiplayer, too, a little bit in the early days, it would keep spawning the same seed. Somehow the code would get connected to the name, and you'd keep getting the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I think it used to be connected. If you didn't put in a seed number, it would generate the name as a seed.
Right, it would connect to the name of the save game file.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
The
name of whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird to me. Well, I found out that's what the hell's happening in 7 Days to Die, too. And it's not Java. You know, it's completely different code. If I had to take a wild stab at it, it was probably made on Unity. I kept naming it the same thing because I'd just been keeping the same save game file name since I started playing it. And so the other night, I started a new game with a different name, actually set of numbers, and it gave me a different randomly generated world. It's been interesting with the randomly generated. In the standard issue map that they gave you the first time out, there were a lot of towns, a lot of buildings to loot, a lot of things to go look for much needed resources you need. So depending on the difficulty you set it at, it was not easy, but you had a little bit of a less steep learning curve because of all those towns and because you knew where they were at every time. They've changed that, and there's far less buildings in the randomly generated worlds. My suspicion would be that they're probably going to get added as this developer goes along. But they are there, so you're more apt to make your own stuff. And that's actually a good thing, because both Agent K and I had realized that other than creative mode, messing around, neither of us had built a base in 7 Days to Die. In fact, if you go watch my video on YouTube that I shot in 7 Days to Die, I'm setting up to build in a house in that video. And so there's a lot of crap I didn't know. And so that's been entertaining me. The other one, and that's one I bought last Saturday and actually ties into some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight in a larger sense, is World of Warcraft. Now, I'm not going to go through the long and involved thing I did in another video that you can go find on my Bruce McGee YouTube channel. But essentially, I had a lot of problems with World of Warcraft. And in the old days, I had a lot of problems with MMOs in general. Now, old days, It's, you know, 2002, 2003, 2001, somewhere around in there. But I had been hearing a lot of rumblings from people I trust that Blizzard had done a lot of amazing things with World of Warcraft as far as the art goes, as far as the models go, as far as how they handle a lot of things. And one thing I will give WoW credit for is a lot of the ways that game is structured would be parts I would take for my ultimate perfect MMO. So it's got its good points, but as it's gone on, I mean, hell, its 10-year anniversary is November of this year. It's become an easy target for jokes, and jokes I've made too. I'm not immune to it, but I was pointed in the direction by a very good personal friend of mine that the fact that I could pretty much get everything that they have created, including the next expansion pack for WoW, plus a month of subscription time for free, and a level warp, meaning taking a character from any level I want to the top-end cap level, level 90, and all of it for basically the price of a AAA game. And I'm like, okay. So even if I don't continue my subscription in it later, I can basically play the game free for a month, and I'm out no more than I would have been if I'd bought some AAA title that I probably only play once and then forget about in my bigger than John's pile of shame. That sound right? My pile is bigger than John's. Maybe that's what I should have said.
Sure.
So it's been interesting because they have done a lot of things that I'm impressed with. Is it going to keep me all the way up until this next expansion pack, Warlords of Draenor, is dropped? Depends. Really depends. But I'm pretty happy that I took the time to dig back and see what's going on. I mean, there's from times I've played the game before, there's a lot that's similar, which made getting into it easy. But there's also a lot that has changed, because it's easily been 6 or 7 years since I played WoW in any form or fashion. So, but that's what I've been playing. No, what would the three of us combined have been playing, and we're shooting for next Tuesday for this to come out. It'll be on my Bruce McGee YouTube channel. I'm sorry, it's just going to be that way because WonderPotOnline.com has a YouTube channel, but because mine's already certified for long play videos, I'm finding that it's a pain in the ass to certify the WonderPotOnline.com channel for long videos. So I'm not going to do it. Point being is the three of us got together this last Tuesday night, to play Left 4 Dead together. And it's going to be a new feature that we hope to continue in some form or fashion called Wonder Plays. There was talk of calling it Wonder Fails, given how our run-through went in Left 4 Dead this week. But you have to tune in and watch the video. I'm going to try and get it to around 90 minutes. It was a little longer than that, but I think it's worth a watch. Glacinator might disagree. Maybe. Why don't you give him a rundown of... Actually, that's what I want you to do, Glacin. You can chime in, John. Give him a rundown of what happened, including the end bit where we had somebody join, and give your take on my reaction excuse me, to the random event. That's what I want you two to do. I want you to critique the angry level. And if I feel a rebuttal is necessary, I will, but I kind of doubt it.
Well, we were playing, is it the first campaign? I guess so.
Yeah, Dead Center.
Dead Center, so. Where you start on the top of the hotel, and then you work your way down, and then you do the outside part, and then you have the shopping mall and all of that. Mm-hmm. And we weren't doing that good. I mean, we're making it through, but barely with three of us. just saying, we had a lot of mishaps.
Yeah, a lot of that was on me because I was requiring quite a few health packs as we went through. More
Guess
more my
Bruce
my my,
was
my old
coach as well.
skill my old skills weren't certainly weren't there.
Yeah, so Bruce was coach, which means that he shot everyone in the back. No, he didn't really, but I guess John took that place this time.
I totally did, yeah.
There's always one person. It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. There's always one person that will shoot everyone else in the back. It's just that's how Left 4 Dead is. But anyway, so we were making it through, and then one of my friends who I know happened to join when we were, I guess, on the third mission.
Yeah, we
And
were third stage because we only
third
got into the
stage.
fourth.
And I think we did pretty good when he joined that third stage. We had that really cool witch kill that happened where I accidentally threw a pipe bomb at it across the map, and it chased me the entire duration across the map. And I somehow ended up killing it before it got to me, which was cool. So that was fine. But then, of course, the level after that is the crazy mall run, the Black Friday level, it should be termed. And I guess did we fail the first time?
Oh yeah,
Yeah, we
yeah.
failed the first time because my friend that joined was he likes playing versus a lot, and versus they run ahead really fast. And try to get it done as soon as possible to avoid the other human players as the zombies.
Oh
And
wait,
so,
we failed the third level one time because of
no,
Speed Racer X. Yes, we did.
that's what I'm talking about, the third level with the run through.
I thought you'd gone to the fourth level. My bad.
No, no, no.
I
I'm still
heard
on third
fourth
level.
level, but I'm looking at like five screens at once. My bad. I'll shut up again.
Yeah, on the third level. And so he's running ahead. And we got to the last part where you have to break the windows and turn on the not silent alarm, turn on the alarm, and that sort of screws you over because you have to run across like these balconies and everything, and all the zombies are at the same time. And so we died there because he was ahead. But I mean, we weren't doing that hot ourselves either. So I'm terrible at that campaign, that entire campaign really. And then we did it again, and this is what I really want to see in the video is the second attempt, is that we thought we were for sure going to lose this time, and it looked like we were going to, but somehow my friend managed to get all the way to the end of the map and turn off the alarm and then come back to help us with each of us having only one health, and then we
Yeah,
somehow made it through.
I don't know how we did that.
Yeah, that was really good, actually. I mean, not good, but impressive that we came back from that. And then after that is in the fourth stage where you have to put the gas cans in the car. And I'm going to admit, I have never, ever beat this level. Ever. In my entire Left 4 Dead history.
Career. Are you
Career.
sure you weren't with us one of the times we beat it on
Nope.
Xbox Live?
Every time we played, G would die.
Yeah, but did you survive?
No. Because G would go down, then everyone else would go down.
Okay, because I know on the Xbox 360 version, I made it out a few times with some of the WPO crew. But there were so many people popping in and out, and some of them could have been Destructoid people too, that it was impossible. It's impossible for me to remember exactly. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been good at that level. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised really that we lost, partly because my friend was running ahead again. But I mean, we tried different strategies and none of them worked. I don't like that level really at all. That plus my computer was lagging hardcore crazy for some reason. So, I mean, if we do Left 4 Dead again, I'd rather do one that's not as ridiculous as that one is.
I'd honestly forgotten about the end. The third level is manageable if you don't have somebody Leroy Jenkins it. I mean, the bottom line is you can't get 50 feet from each other in that game, the way the AI director works. You can't. And this is where one camera shooting the action sucks. I am almost certain, 99% sure, that I have never been with a group, and I played that level a lot, where one guy freaking just bonsaied ahead and got that thing shut off. So that was impressive.
Yeah, he must. He had to have known that level backwards and forwards.
Oh yeah, he knows all the levels. So I mean, that's why he was running ahead that much.
Well, and that's the reason I said at the beginning of this when I let Glace explain it. I didn't want to, and B, I was getting frustrated with his buddy. Now less so than like my Hydro Thunder or Carlos screaming days, but my problem is and always will be is when you join somebody else's match, no matter how bad it sucks, either within 5 seconds go, fuck this, I'm out, you slow-ass lazy bastards, which I'm sure is what he was saying in his head, and that's fine. I would have been saying the same thing if I'd been in his shoes. Or slow down to dictate your pace to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Left 4 Dead is not a game where one person can split off. It just never works. That third level, having that on video, is actually kind of awesome because it's the only time I've ever seen that work. Probably in any form of Left 4 Dead. And hey, let's be honest, there was a shit ton of luck involved too. Again, solo.
No, there always is.
Again, solo camera. I don't think that there's any. I don't. It's hard to dictate or to determine what he. You know, the one time I did it, where the other three kind of just hit out, because we did try that. Like other three stack up, and then one guy just go run for it. I got to the actual button. But there were so many zombies that I couldn't melee them off fast enough to actually click the button. And then I got swallowed. Now, in that case, you had three backups, so those people came along and we got the mission done. But it was just a bad game for your buddy to join anyway, because none of us have played that game in so long or played it much. And that kind of wasn't the purpose of the video. The purpose of the video wasn't to show our elite skills. The purpose of the video series or hopefully series is three guys getting together to have some fun, which we did.
We did, yeah.
Even with the frustration of your buddy running ahead, it was totally a blast. I said it on Tuesday, John, and I still feel the same way. And then for the audience, you could just feel and hear John's ever increasing annoyance with a common thing in Left 4 Dead, and that's zombies getting in close, and you have to melee them because trying to shoot them, unless you got a good melee weapon, you know, like a cricket bat or a cricket or an axe or something, you have to melee them off to be able to get them a certain distance away to shoot them. And it's okay if they're all in front of you, but then when they're behind you too, yeah, you melee the two in front, but then there's still one chewing on your back, you know?
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, I think John had just had it with that concept. You actually audibly hear in the video or should be able to hear him just basically make this noise, and I'm not doing it right, because he's just had it with them damn bastards hanging off of him. And the funny part about that, John, when you got frustrated in one of our last shots at level 4, I had the camera right on you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It wasn't on purpose. It was by just sheer chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the only limiting factor of doing this series with one camera. When I did it with Minecraft, it was pretty easy. I could go in creative and just fly around you guys.
Yeah.
You know, doing it with something like this is a little more difficult. But that's the style we're going to do it in for now or for good or for whatever. So, I mean, but it was totally fun. I'm totally pumped to do something else. We haven't decided what we're going to do next. Maybe Minecraft. Maybe we'll do something a little more low-key. We just got to find a level that doesn't lag out Glacinator's computer, because I think level 4 would have been more fun for him if he hadn't lagged so much.
Oh, yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, Pat just said in the chat that I missed shooting you guys in the back. Pat was, without a doubt, probably the worst. The funny thing is Pat was the worst about it, but bar none... and I'll just apologize in advance if this hurts anybody's feelings. Pat is probably the best shooter player that I play with in the WPO crew. Glacinator is a damn close second, but Pat is just very consistent. Glace will try different things. Pat, he always sticks with assault class because he knows that's the class for him. he knows the guns like in Battlefield. He would go, this gun has too much kickback, I'm going back to this. And he would stick with the same guns, and he was completely and totally better off for doing it. I would play every class in Battlefield, every class in COD. I would muck with different guns. I would screw around with different stuff. And I'm not a great shooter player in the first place, and I'm especially not now. But I think that sticking with a consistent flow and a consistent pattern helps you far more than monkeying around with a bunch of different shit. Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, I was trying some different weapons and trying different things in Left 4 Dead 2. I mean, there's a lot more variety than in the first one, so I really hadn't played that game much at all, so I wanted to try a couple things. The chainsaw was kind of fun, and the axe was kind of fun. But I kept forgetting that I had a melee weapon aside from my gun. I think that was my bigger problem.
Yeah, you got me in the ass with that chainsaw twice. I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, what is... is there a zombie... Oh, no, that's John with the chainsaw.
That's John.
Never mind. Carry on.
And you were saying that I smoked up the entire
blazing up in the elevator.
That's actually probably the best part of the video. There's a chunk of the video, and I guess you could call it spoilers, but trust me, you have to see the visuals to believe it. John kept his chainsaw idling in the elevator as we're riding down, and it started to look like a pothead's paradise in there after about 5 minutes. I had no idea that they'd added the smoke effects with the chainsaw, and go ahead.
It's funny you say that. I thought it was because we were heading down to the fiery spot, right? But you kept saying it was the chainsaw.
I'm pretty sure it was the chainsaw. I don't remember there being that much visible smoke. You know, I'll have to play it again because I just had that same thought. I had forgotten what you were descending into. Either way, it makes for a funny bit in the video.
Oh, it was good.
Then
yeah,
even as we describe, even us sitting here talking about it doesn't do it justice.
No.
I know that in my head mentally when I was thinking about how I wanted to edit and cut it, that no matter what, that piece stays in. Because, or, you know, it doesn't get altered in any form because that was fucking hilarious. You know, it's entirely possible that that probably was just part of the level because we were descending into a giant inferno.
Well, I definitely wasn't trying to turn off my chainsaw.
Well, that's the other thing. That's what made the illusion so brilliant is you never switched out of it.
No.
Like, you left the chainsaw idling the whole entire time. I think that's one of the times you got me the back. We jumped out, and I'm like, oh, look, weapons. And I bent over, and the chainsaw freaking sawed me up the back. Yeah, Pat would always play as coach and always shoot us in the back. Yeah, Glacinator running from the witch is definitely the most intense moment of the game. I cannot believe that you did not get knocked down in that.
Yeah, she was right in front of me, right when I did the last shot.
Oh, and it sucked, too, because I think, if I recall right on my camera angle, I was just getting the words out of my mouth, throw it in the opposite direction. And by the time I said throw it, I could see the little red, you know, like cherry end of the pipe bomb as it's flying.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I went, we are fucked. Because I knew it was flying for where the witch was. Or I had a pretty good idea. And then I heard her scream, and I went, well... Nice knowing you, Glaze. So, yeah, that it's fun. By the way, anybody that knows us, if you know a free or cheap game that has good multiplayer, good co-op, let us know, and we'll get it on video sooner or later. I think Minecraft next to actually give John an honest tutorial, not just do this while we're trying to do a normal podcast and laughing like hyenas when you almost got blown up by a creeper. Because neither of us really gave you... Don't go near the green guy, and I'm sitting there watching it. I was... That night, in that set of frames, I was gauging in my head, how mad is John going to be when he finds out that I just let him get blown up for my own entertainment. That's what I was gauging right there, because Glacinator was in his little house doing the Glacinator thing, and I was watching it flying above it. And I'm like, that's a creeper, and John doesn't know it. Let's see what happens. You lived through it, though.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Glace, did you notice I changed your sign?
Oh, you did? I haven't been on in a bit.
Yeah, I changed it. You've been on since I changed it.
Oh, hmm. Okay. We're going to check it out.
It just says, Glacinator's house, please loot.
Thanks. Well, I only have two suspects, really.
Yeah, I know.
That happens.
That's kind of the extra joke. It's like, well, if somebody loots your house, you won't have to, you know, it's not going to be a full game of Clue. Oh, well, since we're kind of joking and laughing around, let's don't do the super serial serious story first. Let's do the second one. The second less serial serious story. If you haven't heard, and I actually want to do an immediate tangent on some of this, Amazon ended up buying Twitch TV, the streaming company, for $970 million. Now, the tangent is I really fucking wish the media would stop with the rounding up. You know, $970 million is a significant enough number. But I saw it reported as a billion a lot of places the first day. And then with all the journalistic integrity of friggin' Pond Moss, it changed to nearly a billion. I mean, are they going off the Dr. Evil school of numbers? You know? $1 billion. I mean, it's like fucking hell. $970 million is still nothing to sneeze at. The story goes that Google backed off or cooled talks with Twitch when they became concerned about antitrust law issues here in the United States, which I suspect was a valid concern. But that's actually part two. Glace, we'll start with you. What do you think of Amazon buying Twitch, given what Amazon's trying to do? Does it strike you in any way similar to Facebook buying Oculus Rift, or do you have a different take? Glacinator?
Oh, there we go.
He did this in the video. The other night, too. I thought I'd lost him after some shenanigans we had, and he was just muted. We were so trained.
I like Amazon. I like Amazon much more than I like Facebook. Facebook I view as a necessary evil in my life. Amazon is a nice little pleasant thing for me. I mean, I get all my books at half price and everything. I don't really have that many complaints with Amazon, so I like this. I know that doesn't really answer your question, but...
I was going to say, thank you for pointing that out. So I feel, you know, a lot of times when you guys talk around the question, I think, shit, did I not explain it well enough, which I am prone to do. But I thank you for pointing out that... That does play a part, though, doesn't it, guys? That Amazon people like more?
Than I think Amazon so, yeah. More?
So, you know, there was less backlash. I don't think it necessarily would have had much backlash if Google bought it, either. Although Google has a little more heat, to use a wrestling term, than Amazon does.
Yeah, as big as Amazon is, it's a little more of an up-and-comer in the video streaming and demand stuff.
John, yeah, what do you think? What were your thoughts when you heard Amazon was the one that ultimately bought Twitch? It went for less than I thought it would, too.
Still a shit ton of money. But, I mean, for them, you know, getting Twitch, I thought it was a smart move for them. Twitch is pretty huge, and it's only getting bigger. I mean, they're trying to... It seems like Amazon is always trying to get their foot in the door, and now they've got what's, you know, in terms of certainly the gaming streaming, it's the industry standard right now, really, and you know it's a good place to be.
My problem with it, I'm fine with Amazon buying it. I'd have been fine with Google buying it too. I think an antitrust case, they must have thought the antitrust issue was going to be pretty strong, or somebody was going to, you know, lay the hammer down on them. probably Facebook, to back off. But But Amazon, my problem with Amazon is they're starting to act like Valve to me. They're losing focus. You know, they've made a phone now. They make a tablet now. They make, actually, I guess you could almost call them like Microsoft too.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at.
Amazon, what? Oh, go ahead, John. Sorry.
I was going to say that's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of like the up and comers. Like, they're catching up to everybody, and this would be, you know, finally a stake in some new direction and ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but again, I worry about the dilution factor. You know, you're trying to do so many different things to keep up with the Joneses that none of them are getting the focus and attention that they need.
Right.
You know, because by all accounts, Amazon Fire TV is not quite what Apple TV or Roku is. Their phone, well, it's only with AT&T, so, you know, why do people keep signing AT&T only deals other than massive truckloads of cash? AT&T blows goats. You couldn't pay me enough. I'd go to one of those, buy it for your college kid because he's going to fucking run up a bill, prepaid wireless, before I'd go back to AT&T. They're god-awful out here on the West Coast. And so is their landline internet service, too. It's just horrid. But yeah, that's my concern. I have no problem with Amazon buying it. Yeah, it is kind of funny, John. You did bring up an interesting point, maybe without meaning to, that, yeah, I'm sort of sneering at $970 million. But as popular as Twitch is, I would have thought the valuation would have been more in the Oculus Rift range.
Yeah.
You think about it, Twitch is a proven commodity.
Yeah, it is a proven commodity. But, I mean, it's not. But the thing is, I guess that there can be competitors of the Oculus Rift. I was thinking what Twitch is doing may not be something that can be replicated, you know, somewhat easily. But then again, there are Oculus Rift competitors.
Well, Hitbox TV is a competitor of Twitch. Not as big, but from the streams I've watched on it, I kind of like Hitbox a little better. I have an account with both. I don't do any streaming. Who the fuck wants to watch me play video games? Nobody. That's why I don't stream. I'm the most boring person in the world. For 4 hours today, I'd probably be a good cure for insomnia as I build big boxy buildings. I am the box man, don't you know? Oh, you do need to get on the server. You need to look at my upgraded interior of my boxes. Outside, box. Inside, boxes.
You add box rugs and box furniture?
Box with stuff. Not furniture. I haven't got that far. I've sheared an ass ton of sheep. Does that give you any indication of what I've been doing? Actually, shearing sheep's not that big a deal. It's getting the paintings and the pattern I want. Just sitting there banging on them over and over again. I really wish they developed a way for you to pick a painting other than just slapping it up there over and over and over. You just said something, though, John, about not easily duplicated. I have a theory. And it's only a theory. Boxman, good. You have a very good point, Dan. By the way, that's the Dan that is to Pat and I. That is Dan Mann, the Ezreal Christianata. That's why he was saying hi, Dan Glaze. I was going to tell you earlier.
Oh, good point. Good
he was point. Saying hi to you.
Still
as
my
well.
Name, anonymous Dan.
Well, if
Although
we're talking,
you're probably older than me.
I was just going to say, if we're talking in internet terms, I knew him before I knew you. So you guys can leg wrestle to the death for the name later. We'll stream it on Twitch TV. Anyway, but John brought up a very interesting thing of not being able to duplicate that very easily, and that's where my theory goes. Maybe YouTube backed off because of antitrust issues. But also maybe Google realized they could do their own streaming in-house for far cheaper. And just add that to the YouTube service rather than buying another entire service.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are ways that YouTube stream live. I mean, I've watched I've watched Metallica concerts live on YouTube. They do some sort of streaming, whether it, but getting it into people's on their own computer might be something different. I don't know, but
I think the Rooster Teeth guys do their sponsor streams on YouTube live as well. They do stuff on Twitch, but I think their podcast that I enjoy watching, if you're a sponsor of their site, company, blah, 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 you get that streamed live on YouTube. But I'm talking more gaming streaming service.
Right.
What do you think, Glace? You think that's maybe a possibility that YouTube's going to, or Google, is going to do it in-house on their own?
After they did their survey of Twitch, they got some insider information.
Yeah, but that's not illegal if you're not trading stock.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just talking like that. Insider.
Yeah, he's sounding like a character out of The Wolf of Wall Street.
Want to buy a letter? Want to buy a letter Q?
Oh, but I'll be curious to see what YouTube. I mean, YouTube really doesn't have too much to be disturbed about. As far as recorded videos, they are number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking to go look at a video on video games, you go to YouTube.
Christ, anything.
That too. Yeah. Yeah, actually, you are right. Anything. I saw a dead serious video on how to change a tire.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. That stuff's mind-boggling to me because I've known how to change a tire since I was probably 11.
I found a. I had a problem with my air exchanger in my basement of my house, and I didn't know how to. I found a video on YouTube of how to change, like, do maintenance on it yourself, like, you know, like, and simple stuff like, you know, cleaning the filter and whatnot. But it was all there. I just watched it, and I could just go to it. It was no problem to find.
I have watched a couple welding videos on techniques that I always botch. That's an interesting one because the guy recording it has to be extremely careful and you have to do it a certain way. Otherwise you could go blind, which is not good. And it's also difficult to show a technique, but there are some guys that do it. But yeah, it's pretty impressive the amount of stuff that you can get on Google or on YouTube, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I guess VMO is still a thing as far as the recorded. We were talking, Pat and I were talking about, could you record your Twitch stream and then put it on YouTube? And I don't know if you can. Not because Twitch has been bought by somebody else, just in general. I don't know if there's, like, this Mixlr thing I use. I never do it because I get lazy and get tired of waiting on the upload. But, like, all these shows that we do, I could upload a show reel to Mixlr. I mean, it's not something that's a necessarily useful tool for us, because anybody sitting here will probably go get it at iTunes or archive.org or listen to it on our site. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. If the console guys ever pull their heads out of their asses and realize giving people full control over their replay videos is a smart thing to do, then YouTube's probably set, unless Sony and Microsoft attempt to make their own video channels, which would probably be entertaining to watch, but not something I'd want to be involved in. Okay, so next. This has not been a good week for games. In fact, Glacinator was asking, I think maybe because of one of the people I'm going to blast, if we could do a happy, 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 joy, joy episode. And it just was not meant to be. If you start out on Saturday night, I think, Saturday or Sunday, a bunch of knuckleheads, and I posted their Twitter on Facebook because it was requested of me, and I'm kind of regretting I did it. Giving these ass clowns any kind of publicity at all is just a bad idea, period. Even to a handful of people. But it was asked for, and so I gave it. But I'm not mentioning it tonight. They started a DDoS attack first on Blizzard, which I know because I was playing World of Warcraft, and I had the first Quay Q, whatever. Fuck, I always screw that up. First line that I've ever had trying to get into a Blizzard game that's not on launch day. And then once I got in, my ping was so high and I was lagging out so bad. To give you an idea, I literally usually have about a 31 millisecond ping on any Blizzard game I play, whether that's Hearthstone, Diablo 3, or WoW. And my ping time was something like 1,234 milliseconds. I finally ended up quitting and playing something else because it was just so god-awful. I guess that was Sunday. Because then Monday, they DDoS Sony, taking down PSN for an extended length of time. Now, here's where the important distinction comes. And if our audience learns nothing else out of this mess, DDoS attacks are bad, and they are a pain in the ass, but they are nothing, and I repeat, nothing like the data breach that Sony had in 2011 that caused that ginormous disaster. DDoS is basically denial of service attack, and so all these idiots were trying to do was flood login servers so badly that nobody else could log in, i.e. why I had to wait in line on a Blizzard server and why Sony took the PSN down completely. I fully believe Sony took it down because they did not want any further penetration into their system. They were probably terrified of what happened last time happening again. I personally don't think these thugs had the fucking tools or the skills to do it. And then later on, and not as well covered for some reason, but I know for a fact it happened just watching Twitter and other social media, they actually nailed the Xbox Live login servers for a bit. They didn't do that much. In fact, it was kind of funny. I don't know how Microsoft's routing things these days, but there was one journalist, and I apologize, I can't remember who it was, that could log in on his Xbox One but could not log in on his Xbox 360 with the same fucking account sitting in the same house. So then, and I apologize, none of the stuff I'm looking at gives an exact timeline. Then they decided to phone in a bomb threat to about a flight that Sony Online Entertainment president John Smedley, also probably one of the most decent guys that works at Sony Online Entertainment, quite honestly, in my humble opinion, or less than humble opinion, which got that diverted. Then people, either of the same group or different groups, decided to attack Zoe Quinn, the woman we talked about last week with Depression Quest, and make threats and act like man babies. And I find that disgusting, personally. And then they did it to Anita Sarkeesian, who, if you don't know who she is, look her up. She does a video series called Tropes versus Women in Video Games. The people that this was done to is just a part of the story. We're not discussing those people, save one. And they actually made such bad threats to her that she contacted police and left her house because she was fearing that something bad was going to happen. And then, oh, it keeps getting better. They hacked, or doxed as the term is used, the Polytron website and Twitter account. And this was early last Friday. This was late, earlier in the timeline, but I didn't hear about it until today. Now, if you don't know who Polytron is, they're one of my favorite people in the whole wide world's company. They're the makers of Fez. So it's just been a moronic week with people acting like utter and complete asshats. Can we all agree on that? Or do you have anything to add? Any other bits to this story you'd like to add? Glaze, let's start with you.
I liked Fez. I don't care about the creator. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, and I actually think you...
That's the main tragedy with this whole thing, is that the game was so excellent, and everyone just... It gets dismissed so easily now because of all the hype around the people that made it. I feel like it's like a poor stepchild that got beaten, you know.
Wow.
it really is. Everyone's like, oh, Fez, Phil Fish.
I think that's an important thing to make a distinction on. That in all of this mess, you know, which included Fish again, Fez was an excellent game, unless you tried to play it on 360, because Fez was too cheap to Nice one, Olivia. Cheap to pay the fee, which, if you believe a later story, makes him a cheap lying bastard that we're going to do. Oh, that's right. He gets hammered twice, and I forgot that. Whoops. But you're absolutely right, Glaze. And I don't feel responsible for it, because Fish has brought this upon himself. Do you agree to that? That he is a major reason why his game is not the focus of things, all things Polytron. He is.
I don't care. I literally care nothing about him at all.
Right, but
I like the game.
Right, but
it's two different things. They don't correlate for me.
Right, but don't you think people would be talking more about how awesome the game was if he wasn't an asshat with a cannon for a mouth?
Probably, but that's still irrelevant.
It is and it isn't, because I think some people are passing on a truly wonderful game because the creator's a dick. A massive one at that. John.
I'll give you that, yes.
I'm not playing it because I suck at platformers. I'll tell you that right now. If I was better at platformers, and if it was a little more my art style, I'd play it in spite of Phil Fish. And I hope other people that don't like him are doing that. But that's where you're absolutely right. They should be two separate things, Glaze, but they're not, sadly. Too many people associate the creator with the art and will pass on art because of the creator, which I've done it too on a couple things, but to do it often is ridiculous in a lot of cases. John, anything you'd like to add before we get into the meat of the, before I get into my couple questions I've got?
Yeah, I this is what you're saying about Fish and Fez. I think you're both hitting the nail a little bit. I don't think it should matter, but you're right. He is drawing attention away from the thing he's selling by being an asshat. It shouldn't matter. Like, in an ideal world, it shouldn't matter, but I think it does to people.
Right. If anything, I've even passed on some Fish stories because it's like he's had enough turns in the barrel. This is getting so far away from what... And actually, the other people we should feel sorry for is the nameless other faces that work at Polytron and have no control over any of this.
That would be a rough job. Whew.
I wouldn't want to work there. I would if it was a paycheck, but you know, I mean, it's not top of my list. My first thought when I saw this is, oh goody, the hackers gonna hack are gonna get a lot of bad press out of this, and I think that's a good thing, because the vast majority of them in my mind are thugs and just common thieves. Do you think this is gonna turn the opinion about, you know, because even some people were championing what happened to Sony because Sony is a corrupt and opulent company. And that's what these assholes were attempting to claim. John, let's start with you. Do you think this has probably done more harm than good to the underground hackers gonna hack community?
You mean the people who support the hackers?
Yes. Well, no, just them in general. I mean, the ones that people take semi-seriously, like Anon and some of those groups.
I hadn't thought about it like that. The part of the whole hacking thing that really got my attention more than anything. I mean, I was happy to find out that, you know, the attack is not the same as what happened before. And I mean, what you're saying is totally true. But when they're interfering with people's regular lives and airlines and stuff, I thought that was a bit much of a way to make a statement, you know, like it's that kind of stuff. When you're making bomb threats and that's your, you know, that's a little bit different than information.
See, to me, even when you're even the data breach, if one normal has nothing to do with the company, person is affected by your activities, it's not activism. You know, because they've tried to coin the term hacktivist. And these clowns, from some of the stuff I was seeing before, I just got utterly sick of it and stopped paying attention, are trying to claim that they're that. Anonymous has claimed that they're that. When you're hurting average normal people, you're not. You never have been. And I just am really curious if this is going to maybe turn some opinions about them, that the more accepted hacktivist groups might catch some flack now from people who may have supported them before. I'm seeing people turn on a dime from going, yeah, get the government, get these evil corrupt corporations, to you fucking bastards. You know. Glace, and no, hackers gonna hack ain't gonna suffice on this. Do you think that this will turn some opinions on fighting the evil corporations and governments and things of that nature? Because these assholes were just ripping people to shreds that didn't necessarily deserve it.
No, because I always think you're going to have a group of people that wants to take down the man, whether that man is actually a man, in quotes, or not. So, and I mean, using the internet and using hacking to go about doing that, I mean, that's all the rage with the kiddies today, as they say. So I don't think it'll go away anytime soon.
So you don't think this is going to have any effect on the bigger accepted hacking groups like Anonymous and that mess?
No, because I mean, I didn't really hear about it except from you guys. So
yeah, it was pretty widespread if you were paying attention. But yeah, I could see that. I could see somebody missing it entirely unless you were specifically tuned into it or getting info from somebody else. The attacks on Sarkeesian and Quinn, just there's no excuse or reason for them.
Yeah, and I lumped that. I lumped that into what I was saying about the airline. I mean, that kind of shit is just.
Well, that's why I brought it up specifically. That's why I just made that statement, John, so nobody thought we were just lumping them all in together or ignoring those. I mean, how do you express outrage at somebody doing something that heinous and that dumb? I mean, there's only so many ways that sitting here in a voice podcast you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you think of those particular people. You know, I said last week that I found Miss Quinn's game to be rather trite and boring. But I also said that I think it has every right to exist and she's tackling a tough issue and so on and so forth. And that's just, it doesn't do anything to help the situation. I'm hoping, I think unfortunately Glacinator's right, but I'm hoping this turns some people's opinions about hacktivism and all that it's happy horse shit, you know, because I've always held the position back when we were covering the Sony data breach that you attack something that harms one John Kehoe's personal stuff and he had nothing to do with it, then you're not an activist, you're a thug.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're making victims out of the people that you're supposedly trying to do something for.
Exactly. I mean, and there's other ways you can do this. You know, Glacinator's right that it's all the rage with the kiddies. Well, then go change Sony's webpage to say, we love dicks. Or enter at rear. I mean, there's ways to protest using hacking without breaching data or killing off my ability to play video games. You know, and phoning in bomb threats.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually had enough to do. I think that and the attacks on the two women probably really is what ramped up this story. I think the rest of it would have been probably, let's use a newspaper term, page six news, if it hadn't been for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the attacks on the women, as much as I find them disgusting, it's no surprise given how many man babies are out there. The bomb threat one made me go, whoa, really now? Are we going to that level? Holy shit. I actually stopped and went, holy shit. These guys are idiots, but they're not. They're idiots with a friggin' mission. Hey, Glacinator's not going to want to hear this, but I think taking over Polytron's site and their Twitter account was idiotic. But I'm really finding it hard to have much sympathy. Because immediately thereafter, Mr. Fish came out and briefly said that that the Fez property and Polytron and all related licenses are for sale, and no reasonable offer will be refused. I've had it. I quit. And I haven't seen it in report form, but the scuttlebutt around social media is that he's quietly retracted that idiotic statement. And see, that's kind of what I was trying to get at, Glaze. It's hard for me to have sympathy about you being attacked when you then just basically pour jet fuel on the fire by acting like an idiot.
Was that real? I thought that wasn't posted by the hackers?
No. No. Let's see. Here's the link.
I thought that was what the hackers...
Here's the story quote. On Friday, harassers hacked game designer Phil Fish's Twitter account and website, which is the Polytron one from above or from below. Fish at least briefly contemplated selling his company and leaving the industry altogether.
Oh wow, okay.
And then that's where you kick to the one where it talks about I'm lagging out big time because we're doing all this different stuff. Let's see. Oh, fuck, now I lost the story. An unidentified hacker took control of Fez developer Polytron's website and Twitter account. Polytron founder and Fez designer Phil Fish said on Twitter earlier this morning that his company's website and Twitter account were hacked and that he'd been doxxed, having personal information like email accounts, passwords, banking information, and other records exposed publicly. According to former Polytron programmer Renaud Bedard, the developer's corporate Dropbox account was compromised, leading to, and that's what they also did to Zoe Quinn. They got a hold of her Dropbox account, but I don't think they did much past that, leading to dissemination of private information. The Polytron website is currently in maintenance mode, and the account Twitter account's been suspended. In the wake of this morning's attack on Polytron, Quinn, and others, Fish said on Twitter that he's selling the Fez intellectual property and Polytron itself. I would like to announce that Polytron and the Fez IP are now for sale, Fish said on his Twitter account, which he later closed again. No reasonable offer will be turned down. I'm done. I want out. Sell.
Well, I'll adopt it.
What?
I said I'll adopt it.
I can't give
you any money.
Don't get out your checkbook just yet, because the buzz around social media is that once again he's just throwing a toddler tantrum. Because that's like the fourth fucking time in under a year he's closed his Twitter account. And that's the thing. I'm sorry, Glaze. You're correct in your assertion, but I'm having a hard time having any sympathy for him specifically. Folks at Polytron, yes. Other folks, him. No. Because when you say shit like this, it's just going to encourage them.
It's a vicious cycle with him and the internet.
Yeah.
My saying goes, assholes beget assholes. So, I mean...
Yeah, and it's like, this was the perfect opportunity to just shut up, deal with your business, or make some bland PR... They must have no PR at Polytron. No PR person that grabs him by the hands and keeps him away from a phone or a keyboard.
Aren't they French Canadian?
Oh God, is that the, well, that would explain why he reminds me more and more every day of Neighbor Redacted number 2. It's the French connection. But it's just, I mean, it's one of those things that I felt we should cover it because it was just too many things to ignore. You know, but at the same time, it's like, fucking hell. And in Fish's case, maybe I have a slight bit of sympathy for him. Maybe I'm an unmitigated dig for not having more. But he just... The other targets, outside of maybe Sony, didn't ask for it. You know, they did nothing other than their normal, you know, normal routine. Now... Are the other two covering subjects that could lead to some backlash and other things, such as Miss Quinn and Sarkeesian? Yeah. You're going to go where they're going. There's going to be some people that aren't going to like it. But this got to a level that's just unacceptable in any way, shape, or form. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Glace, this is your one chance now to give us something happier to talk about, or I'm doing the Puppy Bowl story.
Oh, I had a chance? I didn't know I had a chance.
Oh, we were still doing that mess. Like I said, I wasn't leaving that out on the vine. Because the Puppy Bowl story is just basically me blasting fucking fish again. No, it's not blasting fish. It's blasting the other guy. The puppy. By the way, I'm talking about the puppy games.
Let's just get it over with.
Okay. Last week I was cruising the internet and we didn't have time to do it. I don't remember what the hell came up that we were doing it. And on gamesindustry.biz, there was this article entitled "Customers Are Worthless." -- Puppy Games. And then the article linked to a editorial by Puppy Games co-founder Caspian Prince. Not making that up, people.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's... you guys remember, we've talked about this guy once before. And I don't know if you guys read his long diatribe. My guess would be probably not. But here was ultimately my problem with it. He starts out talking about... there are unwritten taboos on the internet. There are things you don't say. There are replies you may not give. There are comments you may not make. There are truths you may not tell in the world of public relations. For the public are fickle and behave as a mob. I'm reading from his editorial. A mob in all its feral, brutal depravity. I.e., this is why this is worth doing. And he continues on in this vein, talking about things that you just cannot say. I mean, Phil Fish should really read it, because he's right. I don't like the fact that he's right, though. You know, I mean, ask yourself this question, and then I want you to answer it for the audience. Have you ever wanted to post a comment on anything on the internet and realized that it might be more, that it's the true comment, that it's a true answer, that it's a worthwhile comment, but it's just going to cause too much fucking havoc to make it worth your while? John, you first.
Happened to me today. There was a Facebook post that a family member posted, and I wanted to kind of jump all over it, but it would have opened a mighty big can of beans, and yeah, I held my tongue.
Have you done it in a more non-personal setting, though, too, I would imagine? That's family. Families is a whole other can of fucking worms.
True.
That list of things you do not say is probably twice as long as the stuff you do not say on the internet, depending on your family.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's happened to me on Twitter. I find my Facebook is more for close friends and family, but on Twitter it's a little more, you know, quote unquote anonymous. And but I mean, I'm sure it's happened to me where I've held my tongue. But you know, I've seen the trolling and people responding to trolls and getting into arguments and just getting themselves completely overwhelmed, and they just should have left well enough alone.
Glazenator, how about you? I'm kind of like Dan. And nobody comments on my YouTube videos, but what Dan just said in the chat is literally every time I read YouTube comments, I don't even read them anymore. I'll read them for very specific things. If I see something in a video, I'll go, oh, I bet somebody mentioned that. I bet somebody flipped out about that. And I'll just scroll down until I can no longer take it. But 90% of the time, I don't even read YouTube comments at this point. But have you run into that situation where you could give a really honest, insightful answer and it would just get run over by the fucking mob? He's muted again, or he quit altogether.
Oh, yes. Besides Facebook, I definitely my beginning days of using Reddit, when I was still young and naive, about having a dissenting opinion. I would post things and get downvoted to oblivion.
Yeah, and that is a real kangaroo court. I'd say that the level of disgusting comments is probably a higher level on YouTube, but the soul destroying embarrassment is probably higher on Reddit because of that downvote system.
Yep.
It's a literal kangaroo court, Alice in Wonderland, off with his head kind of thing. And the thing is you're just posting an honest opinion that should spark debate, you know, and it just gets fucking annihilated. And so this guy has a really good point at first, but then he goes into this just unmitigated ranting about the attacks against Phil Fish, and yet how Phil Fish has more money than most of us drones will ever see in a lifetime. To which my question is if he has that much money, how come he was griping about paying Microsoft's fucking outrageous fee to fix Fez, you know, the game that you made? And then goes on to talk about how because of Steam sales and all this other thing, and it turns into a woe is us, you customers aren't worth a fuck anyway, because we only get like a dollar out of you once all is said and done. I just don't understand where these guys, and I mean, I did it last time. These guys' games, they could all be perfectly fine, but just like last time we covered this company, I'd never heard of a single one of them. Here's the link to the his blog, or you can look at the games. Tell me if they appear to be mostly mobile games. But I just don't get how this guy can start talking about a subject that's actually worth debating, how there's so many times you can't say anything on the internet because you're immediately going to get fucking shouted down by trolls or ripped apart for every little nuanced word you say to fuck you clowns, we're badass indie devs. We're either badass indie devs that make a lot of money or don't make enough because you're not worth this shit. It's just the most schizophrenic blog post I think I've ever read or I've read this year.
Yeah, I think he should have stayed on course, like what you were saying at the beginning about trolls and talking about saying the things that you can't say, you know. And if he wanted to have a separate post about and maybe be a little more coherent and a little bit more finger pointing about you know, if he's really not getting paid the money that he needs to keep his business going and stuff, you know, maybe that's a separate post. But it just escalates and gets louder and louder as you can hear the volume in his voice, right? As he gets further and further along, right? And it should be two posts that were. I think we mentioned. Sleeping on it before you press the send button last week, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you should have cut this up and polished up the second half.
I don't necessarily like even some level of offensive criticism, i.e. using curse words or calling into question somebody's heritage, is part of the territory when you make stuff public. How many fucking episodes do I have to say that on? And I realize that we repeat ourselves at times, but new examples and levels of what the fuck were you thinking come up every week. I mean, for those of you, honestly, that are getting bored of this, you have no concept how we could do this every week. Let's just put it that way. We could do this type of story or the last one every week if we so desired.
You pretty well could, yeah.
I actually have a question for you, Glace. As somebody who may, well, not may, will eventually, or actually, you got anything to say, final thoughts about this guy going from one tangent to another?
Nah. Internet's full of crazy people. Crazy people gotta talk every now and then.
Crazy people's gonna craze?
Oh, yeah.
As somebody who's more than likely going to create things for public consumption once you are out of college. Are any of these it ain't me. Oh, I'm creating, all right. Giant dollop piles of dog poo that are only saved by you two and any endeavors we do together. I'm like the garbage man's worst nightmare or the pooper scoopers. In all seriousness, though, as somebody who's a creator, who's going to be a creator, who wants to create, and it is eventually going to have something put out for public consumption, maybe solo, maybe as part of a bigger team, maybe this, maybe that. You're probably going to run across somebody that takes time out of their obviously not busy day to comment on something you have made. Has any of this stuff and the mistakes we've pointed out of other creators helped you in any way to determine how you will deal with it if you're ever confronted with something of this nature?
I mean, when you make anything, the people that criticize it or praise it are always only the vocal minority. And that goes for everything, religion, politics, art, it doesn't matter. What you don't hear is all the people in the middle that are either ho-hum about it or like, okay, that's good, who don't really have to have an opinion. I mean, so for every one person that absolutely hates your game or whatever you're making, there's probably two people, one that really likes it and one that doesn't really care either way, but don't have anything against you. So, I mean, you can't let the vocal minority freak you out. I mean, you're not going to please everyone, so don't bother trying to in the first place.
So that, I mean, that's kind of always been your standard. You've always kind of struck me as that, is that you're kind of like me, that once you decide to make it public, it's public, fuck it.
Yeah, I started doing art critiques, like having my work critiqued, I guess that would be eighth grade. And what we'd have to do is we'd have to stand in front of the class for 10 minutes with the thing that we made and just have people talk about it, whether it was good, bad. Like, the only rule was you had to be brutally honest about what you thought. So, I mean, I've heard my share of criticism. I mean, especially in high school when everyone's always really hormonal for no reason. So, I mean, you just can't let it get to you. It doesn't really matter that much. I mean, it's just something you made. They're not, like, insulting, like, your very being.
Well, you can, I mean, it gets to you. It's.
It only gets to you if you let it get to you.
Right, but trust me, you will run into a point at some juncture. And if you don't, great. But it's been my experience, it happens to everybody, where it will
get... You don't want to be too invested in anything. You don't want to be too invested in your game. You don't want to be too invested in your artwork. You don't want to be too invested in your money.
Well, right, but
if you put all your chips on one table, you're going to freak out when the table goes away. So, I mean, you can't mentally put yourself all the way in that position. It's just not healthy.
No, I totally agree with you, but I'm still saying that at some point, each of us, it's been my experience, there's a chink in the armor and something gets to you. The point is especially in what you're talking about, where it's face-to-face, and I've been critiqued face-to-face on things I've built and created too, more practical, you know, farm crap than anything, but is not letting them know it. That was always my hardest. Because I freely admit, and it really has nothing to do with, to my mind, my personal experience, had nothing to do with the fact how much of myself I had invested in it. It was just more that guttural reaction of, oh yeah? And I have a much quicker temper, as we all know, so that plays a role as well. But I found that if you can stone face them well enough, even if you're a little irritated about it, it shuts them down rather quickly. I mean, these days, I'm at the point in life where it's like, rip it apart. I'll take the stuff that's really good. The stuff where you're calling my mother names, I'll ignore it. or you know, vent about it to somebody else.
I mean, on the internet, it's even easier to do that because you don't even have to look at their face. They don't see your face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're so removed from the situation. I don't understand how people like this are, like, so upset. It's literally just text. I mean, when it goes beyond that and people start hacking, I mean, that's a different story. But, I mean, just hateful comments, I mean, it's words.
Well, and it is...
It's pixels.
It is important to point out with what you're saying that it hasn't been completely disclosed for obvious reasons, but I get the sense that the Sarkeesian case went to the point of the death threats, that type of thing, became more than just text on a page.
Yeah. Well, she left her home.
Right.
Because she didn't feel safe.
Well, right. But I can recall specifically in my mind a case of a forum mod who spent 2 weeks in a hotel, was threatening to sue a couple people, had other people sympathizing for him, and was flipping out that somebody had threatened his life. And it turned out that it was just some dude that sent him a PM, said, "You're a crappy fucking forum mod. I should come to wherever you live and kill your ass." That, to me, is not enough to flip out. Maybe I will die by the hand of somebody that doesn't like me on the internet someday due to that, due to not thinking that's a serious threat. But at the time, and even today, that just random "I'll kill you" comment. How many times have I told you guys that playing video games? Or recording this podcast, I've threatened to crawl through the monitor and beat both of you with hammers at least twice. Or what, Death by Spoons, one of my other favorites. You went, "Oh, that's Bruce being Bruce," and ignored it. You know, I mean, you got to consider the source and the specific. And that's where, Glace, you are, where it does become a little different. Context of the text does play a part. You know, there is some text where you could pick up other things that's like, well, wait a minute here. What's going on? You know. Hey, if that's your Zen Buddha-like state, then you are so far above the rest of humanity, or most of humanity, and you definitely, my friend, have got it right when it comes to the attitude you got to have about stuff you create and comments on the internet. So I applaud you for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're making money off of your product, isn't that the whole point? I mean...
See,
you're not trying to get everyone on your side.
That to me is where it becomes, really becomes for me personally, where I don't give a shit. When money gets involved, you know, I can and have gotten upset and irritated by comments on the internet. I make no bones about it. But that's because it's something I'm doing for free and of my own time. Once I'm paid for it, fuck it. I really become a different person once money becomes involved. Because if I'm getting cash, you can kiss my sack. I care less and less every day when it's you know, stuff I'm not getting paid for. It's my skin is just getting thicker and thicker and thicker as the months and years go on. But when it comes to stuff I've made for cash and the customer is happy and I'm happy, I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. You're absolutely right, Glace. That money is not going to buy you happiness. But if what you're doing is making money, then you're doing something right. I hadn't thought of it in that light. That's a very good point, Glacinator.
I'm wise beyond my years. Glazenator Ushas says. I need to have fortune cookies.
You joke about that, but you are actually quite mature beyond your years. I've known a couple prior models that were like you. But I think you take the cake for being as young as you are and yet as wise as you are. And I'm not just kissing Glazenator's ass for my own amusement or... so he loves me very much. It's true. I've been around an ass ton of early 20-year-olds, including when I was many moons ago when we still were on stone tablets, the ice stone. But I was trying to think of a quick computer joke. I'll give Apple credit for one thing. Putting a small I or a lowercase I in front of everything does make for quick on your feet jokes. The iTablet, or, you know, the ice. You see, you can't even say iTablet, though, because that kind of floods the joke out. You got to say iStone or iWagon Wheel. Could you imagine that? I wonder what Steve Jobs would have done to design wagons better. Instead of that, I don't know if you guys have all seen Lonesome Dove, but instead of that Dutch oven swinging down from below the... from below the wagon axle that the pig's following in one scene, it'd be a Wi-Fi hotspot or a satellite dish or something.
I suppose he would have put some kind of a dock on the wagon.
No USB ports, though.
No USB.
Uh, That would actually kind of be cool. Make a wagon. Now I kind of half want to do that. Make a wagon that actually is like a modern version. Still make it like wagon wheel, you know, pulled by horses, but like make a modern version. I bet somebody's done it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think that's enough show.
Cool.
Works for me. How about you, gentlemen? Did you survive, Glacinator? I know you weren't in a mood for...
I'm good. I lived.
I know, it's... You know, actually, you discussing your attitudes and beliefs about comments and things actually helps me to understand why you're always... You're not dour about it, but you're always less than enthusiastic when we talk about...
I just don't see, like, why it's still... Why it happens so much. I don't know.
It confuses.
Just because it's not my mentality, so I have a hard time talking about it.
Humanity's a bunch of dicks, essentially, outside of Zen, Buddhist, Confucius people like you. That's the simple answer. The long answer requires me to be very, very drunk to explain it, because I hate thinking about it. Actually, the other short answer is the thing we've had since we learned to walk upright. It's called human nature. No, Dan, the show is about over. You and your love of Dr. Mario. Oh, you want to talk about somebody you would not want to take on in a head-to-head match with Dr. Mario? That would be him. Speaking of that, like I said, enough show for the show. That if you'd like to get in touch with us, we got a ton of ways you can do that. First off, Facebook. We got our very own guardian of Facebook, who may or may not be in our audience. You shoot him a friend request. Unless you're an obvious bot, he'll accept it. We are on iTunes. Just search WonderPod if you don't like iTunes. We're on archive.org. We have a website. It's wonderpodonline.com. WonderPodOnline.com, where you can find my kind of sort of editorial about WoW. Pat's got some new Mario Kart videos up there. John, why aren't you getting on that bandwagon? You're playing.
I have some. I should post them.
Yes, you should. You and Pat can play dueling Mario Kart. That's what we should call it. Dueling Mario Kart. You guys work on a post together with each other's videos and make corny jokes about Deliverance.
All right, so couldn't we do a... never mind. my mind is turning about Wonder Plays and YouTube videos. And
hey, actually, yeah, if you guys wanted to do an episode of Wonder Play where you guys played Mario Kart together, I'd be fine with that.
The only problem is that there's no voice when you're playing when you're recording. There's no voice chat while you're racing in Mario Kart Online. You only get the chat in the lobby, and then in the lobby you don't get
video. Yeah, you know, this is killing the end segment of the show, which kind of tickles me because I do it in memoriam of Canman, but mostly. That's why the console guys are still lagging behind a little bit in the whole video recording thing. For about $30, I was able to, you know, purchase capture software that captures all of us and voice and all that. But it doesn't work on consoles. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, even if you guys wanted to do an episode where you guys just clip together or sent me a bunch of video to clip together for you, I'd be up for that. Yeah, there's no voice, but you could get a longer play. Maybe not a bad idea. Maybe get in touch with Pat, see what you guys want to do. But let's see. Also, I post on waterpodonline.com now to get back into the spiel. This podcast where there's an embedded player if you don't want to download MP3s. We have YouTube channels. Imagine that. The WonderPod Online YouTube channel, which has archive videos that you should go watch, but not too many recent ones because it doesn't have the right account. We have my YouTube channel, Bruce McGee YouTube channel, where Wonder Plays will debut next Tuesday. Now I'm set in stone to get that fucker out on Tuesday. I know what I'm doing this weekend. Olivia, who was in our audience earlier, she's got a YouTube channel. Olivia made this. Chris, who could not be here because he's trapped in Germany. What the hell's his current channel called? Fanish, I think. We got a Twitter account. It's at Wonder Pod Online, all one word, at Wonder Pod Online, which will give you links to everything else we're talking about most of the time. Fuck it. We have an email address, too. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. You can follow me on Twitter, or where... our number one fan, who I think is actually in the audience. Yeah, he is. Roger confuses me with tweets that I don't understand and then have to think about. It's at O-R-I-G-I-M. Or you can follow John, who has to see it all, on Twitter.
At John Kehoe, J-O-N-K-E-H-O-E.
Until actually, both Roger and Dusty Monk confused me on Twitter today. I was like, what the fuck did I do now? Until episode 223, I am Bruce McGee. I'm out of here. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.